A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest, plus an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We're getting the cold beer vibes. Chris, what are we listening to?
4th of July by Shooter Jennings. Since we won't be on the air tomorrow, we'll do that.
Yeah, we get a few days off here, 4th of July, and obviously you're working harder than ever because of the way this free agents deal lands. I think, is it 11 o'clock or midday Saturday when the bell rings and they can no longer do deals?
Well, no, that's when they can start signing.
Signing.
So right now is a negotiation period. So all the stuff that's being announced is not being signed.
Okay.
It's just being negotiated. And so the negotiation period started on Tuesday, and then on Saturday or whenever it is when you can actually start, you know, putting pen to paper.
I got you. Okay, so basically all these people, these reports we've heard will be, they'll start signing papers and putting this all together.
Okay. Yeah, and there were still signs after that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when the actual signings will happen,
yep.
Start happening.
So there's a lot to get to just around the league, as well as the Grizzlies announcing that their summer league will start in Utah against Utah on Monday. And I'll ask you a little bit about that in a second. But I want to start with this Ramona Shelburne column that she wrote. I believe it was late yesterday or this morning it posted for ESPN.com. And there's some really wild stuff in here. First, that there was a last-second proposal, basically, where he was asking, or his camp was asking, for 2 years, $20 million, according to Ramona Shelburne in the report. And this is after there was a golf round done with basically the head of the owners. And they're sort of hashing this out on the golf course. And it appears that they were basically trying to smooth this whole thing over. But it just wasn't going to happen from the franchise perspective. And also it points out that Clay was kind of pissed off from the get-go for the last few years because he had all this rehab and stuff. Just your thoughts on the column and what's going on in Golden State.
I have not read this column,
yeah.
so I do not know.
Oh, okay, yeah. But that's the gist of it. That's the synopsis.
Yeah, so I don't know what's in that column.
Yeah.
I think from the Golden State standpoint, obviously it's a tough break with someone who you've won multiple titles with. It's part of this historic core. It's going to go in the Hall of Fame. It's going to have its number retired. But, like, you know, Paul Pierce didn't end his career with the Celtics.
Right.
Tony Parker did not end his career with the Spurs. This is what usually happens, and it usually, you know, Hakeem Olajuwon did not end his career with the Rockets, etc. So this is the way things tend to end in the NBA. This is the rule, not the exception, even for great players who've won titles with their franchises. And I think it reached the point in Golden State where, you know, they just sort of had some choices to make, and Klay Thompson's one thing, Steph Curry's another. So I think Steph Curry is going to be the dark of that franchise more than likely, the Tim Duncan of that franchise. And usually, you know, the second and third guys in those arcs don't get to do that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think for all parties involved, you know, Klay Thompson gets more money than I think Golden State was really wanting to do. He gets to go to a good situation for him to compete. The Warriors, I think, you know, retain, you know, the Steph Curry, Draymond Green part of what they do. And they can start shifting under these aprons and under the tax and getting their books in order while still having Steph Curry on the basketball team and probably still having a competitive team. Not a contending team, but a competitive team.
Yeah, you mentioned on X, Twitter, they signed Kyle Anderson with some of that money. DeAnthony Melton was signed in the morning. And then he said, why not make it a trifecta with Tyus Jones? Would Tyus Jones make sense on that roster? I don't know if the money would work because he wants probably too much money, it would appear.
Yeah, I don't think that's something that would happen. But they do need more ball handling on that team.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about Melton is more of a 3-and-D kind of guard, not a ball handling guard. And Curry is at his best, sort of. Curry can play on the ball, but he's really at his best off the ball in terms of his movement off ball. And so, they run a lot of stuff through Draymond Green. But that team does need more ball handling on it. But I think Tyus Jones, that wouldn't be a shocking development, but I don't see them, you know, paying the money that I think he could probably get to stay in Washington or be somewhere else.
Yeah,
it would be funny though.
I could kind of see it working still in Golden State. I know Grizzlies fans are shaking their head, but I think the Grizzlies are in a tier of teams in the West. In my opinion, I want to get your thoughts on this because we're experimenting at center at this point. We got to see what we got in summer league with our newly drafted center and maybe signing somebody to back him up or in that slot. But between Kyle Anderson, DeAnthony Melton, you still have Draymond, you have Steph, albeit old, some young players. They re-signed Looney. It would appear, I think it's short-sighted to write that team off as I don't know, not in the mix.
Oh, no, I think that team can be in the mix in terms of being in the play-in, competing to be in the play-in, and sort of being in the mix of as a postseason team. I think it depends on what kind of season Steph Curry and Draymond Green are going to have.
Right.
That team is not – the name value is lessened in terms of Chris Paul out, Klay Thompson out, Kyle Anderson in, D'Anthony Melton in, maybe Buddy Hield in, that's been rumored. And so it's less starry. In terms of actually playing basketball, I don't know that they got worse. You know, and they may have even gotten better. The problem is that Steph Curry's another year older and Draymond Green's another year older. And so, you know, and decline sets in with all these guys. And so it's hard to imagine that team not continuing to trickle downward just because of the age of their star players. But that team is not – they have not joined the San Antonio, Portland, Utah group, I think, of teams that are out of the mix. I think that team is so good enough to be in the mix and should be pretty interesting to watch. I kind of struggle with the idea of Kyle Anderson and Draymond Green playing at the same time because they're so similar.
Mm-hmm.
Good defenders, good passers, not really shooters. I don't know if that works to play them together. But maybe, you know, you toggle those two guys and you have someone like that on the floor all the time.
Yeah, and presumably Kyle will get shots too. You're gonna have Draymond kicking the ball out to him. But I want to bounce down to Los Angeles, and I know that this is going to be a topic of conversation all across talk radio, and it's probably not your favorite thing to talk about. But everybody is talking about Bronny in this press conference yesterday, where they introduced him and Dalton Connect. We have Connect 4 now, Chris, which is clever for my generation, board game playing folks, albeit spelled wrong. So Connect 4, and then Bronny's got number 9. He's got a full roster contract. LeBron signs his. What's a 2-year deal? It's a 1-year and then a 1-option year. And also willing to take a $1 million pay cut to stay within the apron, but I don't know what that gets you, as many have pointed out on Twitter and X. My general question is this, just as somebody who follows the league and is really smart on the league and writes stories in depth about the league, we're going to be talking about a young man who is the son of one of the most famous players to ever play in the NBA, who gets a full contract, and now we're writing it off as if he deserved it, including the people who signed him to the deal, selling us on the idea that he deserved this and he's worked towards this. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm really not, Chris, because you're going to hear a lot of this on the radio and on TV today. It is a little much when you have J.J. Redick getting hired to be the coach, number one, and then number two, selling us on this fiction that this somehow was always the way to go for the Lakers.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple things there. I'd be interested to see whether that guaranteed contract is just the flat-out rookie minimum or it's or it's something more than that. Because if it's the flat-out rookie minimum, the way it works in the NBA is I think the league basically subsidizes that, minimum contracts.
Yep.
And so it's a way to sort of add a player without adding to your tax bill. And you know, if you ever see like Cam Spencer pop up on the Grizzlies' main roster, which I don't think he would, it would be sort of a similar kind of thing. So there's that aspect to it. But they could have taken someone else with that pick and put him on the roster to right. for the tax treatment.
Yeah.
The Bronny James thing, I don't. Yeah, of course, it is what it is, and I don't really care about. I'm not upset about what it is. So I, you know, the point that many people made, Adrian Wojnarowski, you know, probably most prominently, like, yes, nepotism, but nepotism is like prominent throughout the NBA, and all that's true. And so I don't really have an issue with it to that degree. But I'm also not interested in pretending that that's not what it is.
That's what I'm saying.
That
yes.
it's something that it's not. You know.
Yes.
I mean, and so when I saw people like sort of genuflecting in the moment about, isn't this an amazing story, or, you know, history is being made, the first father-son combo in the NBA, which is technically true, but this is not Ken Griffey Sr. and Jr.
Right.
This is not an amazing feat because, you know, Ken Griffey Jr. would have been in Major League Baseball at age 19, no matter who he was.
It's not close.
Was or anything.
It's not close.
He was a phenom.
Yes.
Like, that was an actual achievement. This is not an achievement. This is just like someone with power, you know, help, you know, I don't yes. even know if he's helping out his son. Maybe he's helping out himself. But it's someone with power getting something done he wants done.
Yes.
Which happens all the time in the NBA and in other industries. So I don't really care that is happening. But I'm not really interested in trying to treat it as something that it's not. It is what it is.
Yeah. Chris Harrington is with us covering the Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian, also food and so much more here. And if you're like me, your summer has been ragged if you're covering the NBA, Chris, because I know you're moving and doing multiple things. I just had to get a 16-year-old a license this summer, which, boy, you talk about wild in Shelby County. That's a whole – make sure you check the right boxes when you go on the website if you ever get there. But I know how busy you are, and I'm kind of bouncing around here for the 4th of July. But the Grizzlies did announce that on Monday – we're going to be starting the Summer League on Monday right after the 4th of July weekend. And all of the games are going to be on the Grind City app, which I think is cool. And, you know, we haven't talked a lot about it on 92.9 about – the coverage plan that some of these outlets are doing so that fans can easily, accessibly watch NBA games from their favorite teams. And I actually like what they're doing as long as it works. But the first game will be in Utah on Monday on the app. And I presume we would see Zach Edey. What are you hoping to see in the league? And what are your thoughts on the coverage plan?
Yeah, they haven't announced the roster yet. I'll be interested to see the roster. I think there's a good chance that there's a lot of players of note on that roster. It seems likely that Zach Edey will play. I mean, I think the dots connected to him not doing the camp for Team Canada suggests certainly he will play. They have not announced that, but that seems to be the case. So I think you have all three rookies on the team with him probably, and Wells and Spencer. Gigi Jackson, I think they basically said, will be playing Summer League. And I think there's a good chance you see Scottie Pippen Jr. and Jake LaRavia. I think that's been hinted around. And so if you see all of those people on the Grizzlies Summer League team, I think it makes a pretty interesting Summer League team to watch. As far as the coverage plans, I know the games were available via the Grind City thing last year. I remember watching all the games but not watching them that way. Mm-hmm. So maybe they're also on League Pass or on NBA.com. Or,
yeah, that's true,
I don't
too.
Know, man.
Yes.
I mean, day of game, I look around and figure out where they are and watch them.
Yep.
And so I think it's important for them to be available to be seen. And so however that can happen is fine by me.
How much Edey should we see? I mean, I think you want to be careful if you – is it a lot like Wemby last year where you put him in two or three games and you're like, yep, he pretty much looks like we want him to, and then you get him out of there?
Well, no, I don't think you have to do that. But the way the Summer League works is they play a lot of games in close proximity. And so because of that, you don't play everybody every game just because of it's too much. And so I don't know that they would treat Edey any differently than they treat other like main roster players who play Summer League.
Mm-hmm.
But what tends to happen is like they'll get a game or two off when the games start stacking up. And so you may have, if you have like three games in 3 days, you may play like, you know, Zach Edey and Gigi Jackson and Jake LaRavia, two of them, and then you sit everybody in one of the games, and then one game becomes like there's no reason to watch this,
right.
Unless you're a real sicko kind of situation. You know, you're watching the Frankie Ferrari games or whatever.
Yeah, there's some
but
of us.
I don't think, but barring some kind of injury concern, I don't see any need to like to shut down Zach Edey prematurely. Yeah. I would just play him throughout the summer league, but not necessarily play him every game, because I don't think they'll do that with any of their roster players.
Yeah, I heard there was a report, I guess DJ Jeffries is going to be on the roster, so you're sort of just filling this in with people who aren't on NBA contracts and G League players, but
right.
It does feel like Laravia has some skin in the game in terms of, like, if he has a poor... If you come out and you don't demonstrate the things that he was starting to demonstrate at the end of the regular season, it does feel like you have to cut bait, doesn't it? I mean, Zaire, Laravia, is there time to make some drastic decisions?
I wouldn't say that about Laravia. I think he really helped solidify himself at the end of the season.
Yeah.
And so I think if he plays summer league, I don't know that he will. I mean, they have not announced he will. Typically, players in his situation don't, but sometimes they do. And there were hints late in the regular season that he might play summer league. And I think for him, it would not be like this is my last chance.
Right.
You know,
right.
To prove
He's not
myself.
Viewing it that way. Yeah.
For him, it would be, I want to build on the momentum mm-hmm. I had coming out of the season that I finally got an extended chance to play. Yes, it was in games that didn't matter because the playoff race was over and there was that aspect of it. But I finally got an extended chance to play every night and I was productive. And I have momentum coming out of this season, and I want to build on that momentum. So I think if he plays, it will be more of a positive, I want to build on what I did coming out of the season rationale than a I got to prove something or else I'm out of here situation. I really think he's in a slightly better place than that.
Last thing on the Grizzlies, and we're talking to Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. Do you expect, I don't know, next 48 hours we're going to be sitting here and it's going to be a multi-year deal that's a restructured deal with Luke Kennard?
I wouldn't make any assumptions about the nature of the contract. I think that what we've seen is that the market for players of Kennard's type is pretty low right now. There are lots of free agents out there who are similar to him who have not gotten deals yet. Buddy Hield, Lonnie Walker, Malik Beasley, Gary Trent. It's actually a pretty crowded market of shooting specialist scoring guards who are probably backups on good teams. None of these guys have gotten deals. A lot of money is drying up. I think the Kennard deal is likely to come in lower than maybe we were speculating about a few
wow.
weeks ago.
Okay.
And so we'll see. And there doesn't seem to necessarily be a rush on it, you know?
No.
I mean, we're all hungry for news, but they don't play basketball until October.
Yeah.
And so I don't, you know, it could happen while we're talking. It could happen. It could be another week. I really don't know. But I wouldn't assume, I think early on people were assuming, you know, if they opt him out of that 14.8, they're going to have to pay him, you know, multiple years
yep.
to make up for that. But it was a team option. You don't have to make up for anything. He was not entitled to that money.
Right.
He did not have a choice of keeping that.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not like, you know, if you don't give him that, he gets to choose to get that somewhere else. It's not really his choice. Mm-hmm. It's about what the market is out there for him and players like him. And it seems like that market is a little lower than maybe we thought.
Yeah. Chris, have a great 4th of July weekend. Are you traveling? I don't want to get in your business. Is it just you, Shooter Jennings, and a cold one? What do you have planned?
We're here in town this week, but then my daughter and I are traveling to Arkansas to visit my mother this weekend.
Excellent. Well, enjoy it. I know you're going to be probably doing stuff on the fly while that's going on. So best to you and your family for the 4th of July weekend, my friend. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Brad.
Yep. It's the Daily Memphian's Chris Harrington, and we'll have him back on Monday at 10 o'clock here on the Jeff Calkins Show and on the Odyssey app. Jeffrey Wright joins me here in studio for a couple of minutes. We'll have Sam Hardiman to talk politics and some wild stories here in just a second. But
So Shams has given us the Bronny contract.
Okay.
It is a rookie contract with the Lakers, 4 years, $7.9 million team option in the fourth season. So that... to me, sounds slightly above the...
Whoa. Yeah, and Chris was talking about it as, you know, sort of a team-friendly 15th man on the roster type of contract. That is not what that sounds like.
Yeah, so...
4 years, 7.9.
For last year, the rookie minimum was $953,000.
Oh, my God. They overpaid. I mean, you're just that is a lot
almost
of money.
Almost sounds like he got the league minimum.
It sounds like a league minimum for a veteran player, not a rookie.
Yeah, because for the minimum is 1.1 119, or at least it was for this season, the season we just had.
You don't have to answer this question. I'm going to make this up. That sounds like the highest that a pick in the 50s has ever made. I don't think I'm making that up.
I don't think you are. I mean, I guess there are some probably examples of guys that were picked in the 50s and were stashed away,
right?
Like overseas, and they could.
We've seen that here in Memphis.
Yeah, I mean, like technically, Mark was picked in the
right.
I think maybe the 40s or whatnot, mm-hmm. but that seems to me to be like anecdotally, I would think that's true.
I'm not going to come on here and yell because you're going to hear plenty of that this weekend, and you're going to hear the hot takes about Bronny. It is staggering, though. And the reason why is the Grizzlies just went through a season where you had a guy that they drafted late as a value pick in G.G. Jackson that a year or so before had been projected as a first rounder. To me, that was a really good pick. Now, it's easy to say that now because we saw G.G. Jackson perform last year. But the guy had to perform to get the NBA contract, much like Vince Williams had to this last year. You know, this is a little different. This is a player who has not seen the court for the Lakers. And to me, it's just weird. It's just odd.
So this is interesting. I didn't realize this. So The Athletic writes that back when the Grizzlies gave Kennedy Chandler his deal.
Okay.
So Kennedy Chandler and the Grizzlies agreed to
a $2 million deal.
Four-year, $7.1 million rookie deal. And at the time, that was the largest guaranteed for a second-round pick in NBA history.
Wow. Well, this has beat that number.
Correct. So that was
picked in the low 30s or the 40s, though, I think, too.
I think that's correct. I thought he was in the 30s.
Yeah, I can look that up. Also, if we're going to compare, a proven two-year college player. He played 2 years at Tennessee. Kennedy Chandler
was two or just one?
Kennedy Chandler, I believe he played two. Chandler, Tennessee. Didn't he?
I think he only played one. I think he was one and done.
Okay. Second round pick.
38th overall.
Pick 38 overall. He was one and done.
Yeah, I was nearly certain he was.
I'm pulling up his Tennessee stats.
Honestly, now that we kind of, now you kind of talk it out, they're kind of similar players. Like, undersized.
And Kennedy's, saw what happened with Kennedy.
Kennedy is more of a pure point guard, and I would say more so Bronny's a two, but they're both right. Undersized, and they were highly recruited.
Okay, let's have some fun with this. Kennedy Chandler was a highly coveted student athlete coming out of Briarcrest who transferred to a high-level summer team, AAU team.
Yep.
He led the U.S. men's U19 team to the gold medal in 21. He started the season opener for Tennessee and had a wildly successful freshman season, landing on the Wooden Award, the Lute Olson National Player of the Year Preseason Watch Award. In a season high of 34 minutes, scored 15 points, had five steals against Tennessee. I mean, he's just a scoring leader.
He was second team All-CC. He was all freshman for the SEC.
Team high averages in points, 13.9 assists, 4.7 steals, 2.2. Had 161 assists in his freshman year and was one of the best point guards in the draft. Was drafted after playing, at Tennessee. Yeah, SEC tournament MVP, all tournament team, all SEC second team, all freshman team. He was all everything for Tennessee and was drafted by Memphis late in the 30s and got a record 4 year, $7.1 million contract.
Yes.
Bronny, on the other hand, is the son of LeBron James.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
No, I mean, to me, I guess if you want to play along with the ruse of...
I know this is very narrative-driven, but it doesn't make it any less...
LeBron always makes it narrative-driven.
Yeah.
So if you want to play along with the whole, quote-unquote, he earned it, I guess the argument would be he is at least good enough to get to where he was at least good enough to actually have this be a reality.
Like, yes.
There's a universe where he's Jeffrey Jordan, and he wasn't even good enough. To me, that's kind of the other thing. It's like, if you want to compare it to Michael, it's like Michael never demanded any of his kids get even scholarships.
He never thought about
it. Jeffrey was a walk-on at Illinois and then
transferred.
Correct, and I think the other one played at UCF.
And it didn't go well, and he was done.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, I think there are tiers to this, right? And this is why it does a disservice to Bronny. If you put Jeffrey and Marcus Jordan down here in Tier 1, they didn't make it, and they were good players. They were good enough to play Division I basketball. Maybe that's it. Tier 2 might be Bronny, right? You're a big-time basketball player. The other thing you could point to is the combine, like huge vert, like outperform. Like the statistics were ridiculous. He's a hell of an athlete, you know? A little undersized, but that's fine. The one thing I think that folks aren't talking enough about, and this is why he never would have been drafted by a normal situation, is the heart. Because the way that these franchises operate, we have forgotten that this guy, I mean, he's lucky to be playing basketball because of the heart condition, and let alone getting an NBA contract for 4 years and 7.9. But again, I'm not upset at the kid. This is how the world works. It's the way Noah Eagle probably gets a gig with the Clippers doing play-by-play and has a career, or Joe Buck gets his foot in the door to have a broadcast career. But you make the most of that. And I think that's the hope. If you're Bronny, is that you go ball out. I think it's going to be hard to ball out, though, because not just that the league's gunning for you, but the thing I was thinking about this morning is when he gets on the court for the Lakers, whether it's for the G League or he's playing for the Lakers, at 6'2", like, there's some real gazelles playing that position and that can guard up, you know, and I don't know if he's an elite shooter. I mean, his shooting was great at the combine. He's a hell of an athlete. What do you think he looks like on the court when you put, I'm not saying he's John Morant's guarding him, but let's say that G.G. Jackson is on ball with Bronny James in the basketball
game. College. It's not great. I mean, to me, that's kind of the bigger question is, how are the Lakers going to use him?
I don't know where you use a 6'2" guard who is not a sniper shooter like Dalton Knecht. Is he a defense? You know what he could be? Here's what he could be. He could be, is he undersized Drew Holiday-ish? Is that a goal?
I mean, like, that's kind of that's the other thing. It's like, part of why Drew Holiday is Drew Holiday is that he's not undersized.
He's huge.
That's why he can
guard. He's 6'6".
Correct. And he's long.
Yeah. See, that the size really hurts. And I'm not just talking about the athleticism. I'm talking about when you're going for loose balls.
To your point, it's why Kennedy Chandler's been kind of bouncing back between the G League and the NBA.
It's probably why Chandler didn't go in the first round.
Yes.
Because of the measurements. Because he was also a great athlete.
Yes.
Could also jump out of the gym.
Yes.
That's a really good comparison, Jeffrey. Kennedy Chandler and Bronny, that is a really good comp. Drafted both in the second round.
Similar contracts, everything.
Everything. The only difference is that Kennedy's college career was friggin' unbelievable and he didn't have a heart issue.
Yes.
A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest. Plus an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.